I love that.
46 years I've been singing and praising that story, amen. And I'm glad you're here today. Thank you for coming. Take your Bible, please. Acts chapter 17. I hope you had a good week. I know that God is still on the throne. And the news that we hear constantly does not scare God. He knows everything is on time. Trains coming in. Ships coming into the harbor. And Lord Jesus Christ coming back to gather his saints to take us home. Amen. And this is my story. This is my song. A lot of things scare us. And a lot of things perturb us. And a lot of things get us very angry about things that are going on in this life. But ladies and gentlemen, those things have happened before to bring great revival to our country. Back in the 1600s, there was a great dirge of things are going on in our country. And finally, we had some things are going on and war, and all of a sudden, there was a great awakening in America. And people got saved. And it swept this country like wildfire. And then back in the 1800s, the same thing happened again. God gave us an awakening in America. People got saved. And country came back to God. And there's a lot of things going on in this world. It just may be that God said, we're going to give you one more chance, America. And we're going to one more time. I don't know about you, but it sure is interesting life to live today. And we must realize that God is in control. And you say, but the president, it don't make a difference who the president is. It's God. The president's not going to win righteousness and liberty for our country. It's God. And the Bible says God raises up and takes down leadership and relax. And just you take care of yourself. And you live for God. And you walk with God. And you read your Bible. And you pray. And you study the Word of God to see what the Bible says about life. And God said there's two things you're going to take out of this life. One, the love of your wife and the food you eat. That's all you get. It don't make a difference I don't care how much money you got and how much money you don't got. I don't know if that's good English, but it's sure good doctrine, amen. And it don't make a difference. God said there's only two things. I've never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse yet. I used to say that thousands of times until this crazy guy came home. He was in North Dakota. He said, preacher, you won't believe it. I said, what's that? He said, I saw a U-Haul hooked onto a hearse in North Dakota. And I said, well, that's what you get going through North Dakota, you buy. All right, Acts chapter 17. I'm going to ask you a rhetorical question. The rhetorical question is that I ask you the question, but you don't come back and tell me what you think, amen. That's just, okay. We have snipers in this room. We'll take care of that, amen. So, are you ready for the judgment of hell? I guess that's the question I ask you. Are you ready for the judgment of hell? Acts chapter 17, verse 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at. You say, what in the world is that? Well, during the time from Adam and Eve all the way up to Jesus, there's a lot of things that went on. And God, in his great mercy, allowed those things to happen. But listen to what he says now. But now, today, commandeth all men everywhere to repent. No more winking. God says, here it is. This is what's going to happen. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man. And of course, you know who that man is, right? Who is that man? Jesus Christ. Whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. And if you are here today and you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you say, what are you talking about? Well, the Bible says all of us are sinners. And we must know that. And we must confess. We must repent of our sins. And believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross. And that you believe that Jesus Christ rose on the third day. And you invite him to come into your heart and in your life and be your personal Savior. He'll save you. That's God's promise to us. It's very simple. Salvation is very simple. The simplicity of salvation is incredible, but it's also very profound. When a man gets saved, he realizes he's a sinner. And he realizes that he needs a Savior because there's no way out of this world to go to heaven is through Jesus Christ. He needs a Savior. The Bible said all of us are sinners, and because our sins, we have to pay a debt. And that debt is debt in hell and hell. And Jesus Christ said, if you ask me to come in your heart, for God so loved the world, what? That whosoever believeth in him should not, what? Perish. That means hell. That means destruction. But have everlasting life. And so, if a person does not know Christ as their personal Savior, you're headed for damnation and destruction in hell. But many of us who sit here today have come to the point in our life and we realize that death and hell are coming. The Bible says is a point on all of us that we're going to die. And then the judgment. We understand we're going to die. I said yesterday at the funeral, I said, none of us are going to get out of this life alive. All of us got to die. We're all going to die. But if you invite Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior, you go to heaven and you live with Christ for the rest of your life. And so the question is, are you ready for the judgment of hell? Years ago, a skeptic who, when asked to trust Christ as a Savior, said, I'm not afraid of hell. All the hell we have in this here on earth. And a preacher said, I'll give you three reasons why this earth you are not living in hell. Number one, I'm a Christian. And there are no Christians in hell. Number two, there's a place around the corner you can satisfy your thirst and get a drink. There's no water in hell. And number three, the preacher says, I've been preaching the gospel for many years on this earth, and there's no gospel in hell. Next, we find these scriptures, three things that should change our thinking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has appointed a day of judgment. There's a judgment's coming. Whether you like it or not, it's coming. And I don't care if you're president. I don't care if you're Congress. I don't care if you're senator. Senators set up law and say there's not going to be a judgment. I'm telling you, there's going to be a judgment. You can't stop it. Secondly, God has ordained a judge for that day. And God has ordained Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only begotten, Jehovah God, is going to be the judge. And number three, you cannot change this. God has commanded men to repent. And if you do not repent of your sins, you suffer the consequence. Many of you are fathers, and you are raising some wonderful children. Sometimes they're not as wonderful as they could be. They still follow their father, Adam. And they have sin nature. And as good as they want to be and the best you want to be, they're always doing something wrong, right? Always something. And so Dad has to come and be the judge. And Dad said, I told you not to do that. And you did that. So now, not only is he the judge, but he's also the executioner. And he must apply the Board of Education to the seat of knowledge. If you get what I mean. And if that child will not repent of what he did, a good father will keep at him until
he repents.
You don't. That boy's going to go before the judge in town, and he's going to go to the pokey, amen. Because he is unwilling to do what he was supposed to do. And God said, it is appointed on a man once to die, and then to judgment. For every unsaved man, woman, boy, and girl, God has appointed a day of judgment. You have an appointment with the Almighty God of heaven. Literally, you have a date with the deity. That appointment will be kept. You cannot postpone it. You cannot cancel it. You cannot get out of that appointment. And you will not be late for that appointment. There are some people that are always late. For some, maybe they have someone in their home that's sick or unable to get around or handicapped or something. And it seems like that every time you want to do something, you know, they always do something that slows you down to what you're supposed to do. Like a child that you have to change his filter before you bring him to church. Somehow, he just filled that filter up. And it stops you. You're just late. There are some that are always late. There are some that are always early. But I'll guarantee you, when the time strikes, a year to go before the holy God of heaven, Jesus Christ, you will be there, and you'll be there on time, and there'll be no questions asked. It is said by the Apostle Paul that he had only two dates on his calendar, today and that day. And that day is coming. We are sure that those two days you have today, the present moment, to get your house in order. But that day is bound to come. If you are ready for that day, you're ready today. I was just reading the newspaper, and I'm always checking out how people die. This young lady was born in 1966. I graduated in 66 from high school. And she had a heart attack, died. It said she unexpectedly died. There are some, like my friend who I just buried yesterday, he had cancer. And for over a year, I watched him suffer with that. He knew that the writing was on the wall. He was going to die. But this 66-year-old lady who unexpectedly died, they had no idea. You may be on that side. Your brother Gibbons, man, he had a heart attack, and then he had cancer and all things going on. And everything seemed like going. We knew. Brother Gibbons says, you know, preacher, I'm not scared of going to heaven. He said, I'm just afraid how I'm going to have to get there. He went. And he suffered, went through a lot of trouble and heartaches. Some of the other folks know that some family members, you know, I mean, it's like my nephew that passed away 2 weeks ago of brain cancer at 54 years old, that they'd been operating and working on him and for 2 years. Well, we knew the writing was on the wall. But on the other high side, there may be a death of being unexpected. But I'll be honest with you, folks. Death is not unexpected. Death is the, as Paul said, it is the grim reaper. It is the greatest enemy to mankind. And many people are very feared of it. But if you've made already your decision to Jesus Christ, and you put your faith and trust in the Savior. Savior is one who comes and pulls you up and saves you. If you have made that decision today, you're ready for the judgment. But if you haven't, I grieve for you. I yearn that you would come to Christ and receive Him as your personal Savior. If you are ready for that today, you're ready today. If you are saved today, you're ready for that day. God has set a day, and you had better enter it into your calendar, for it is already on His. I'm not too surprised about the things that go on in my life because I keep a calendar. And boy, if I didn't keep a calendar, I'd be kind of going kind of crazy. There's a great old preacher that had had his calendar, and before we had all this electronic stuff, and he had his calendar and he lost it. And so he just grabbed another calendar and just started filling it up. But all of a sudden he started getting calls from people that said, "Hey, aren't you going to be here next week?" "Oh, no, I got so-and-so on the calendar." "Well, how do you do that? We've already booked you." He was in his later years, see, but a high school senior was talking to his pastor. Do I have any high school seniors here today? All right, this is for you, Daniel. High school senior was talking to his pastor. And his pastor said, "What are you going to do?" And he said, "Well, I'm going to go to college." He said, "You going to go to college?" "Yep." He says, "I'm going to study the law." He said, "Okay. And then what?" He says, "Well, after I get my license, I'm going to practice law." "Okay. Then what are you going to do?" He said, "I'm going to hang up my shingle." "And after that, what?" "Well, later I'm going to build me a law firm. And after that, what?" The preacher says, "Well, I suppose someday I'll get retired." And he said, "And after that," the student saw what was coming. He says, "I guess I'll die then." And the preacher said, "And after that, what?" And the young man remained silent, and the preacher says, "I'll tell you what's next to come. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment." There always looms that date of deity, where we'll meet deity, that appointment with the Almighty God. It is optional whether a man or get saved or not. Mankind has a free will. You have a choice. You can shake your fist to God, or you don't even have to shake your fist to God, just walk away from God. But you will stand before a holy God in heaven, whether you like it or not, whether you even believe it or not. All these people out in this world that are atheists and everything else, whatever you want to call them, whether they like it or not, they're going to stand before a holy God. I have a book right here. It's called the Bible. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the Bible, Bible. This Bible, whether the people who agree or don't agree with it, has been so perfect, and it has proven itself time and time. It's just a time-tested book. And the Bible is truth, whether you like it or not. It is every prophecy ever made has been made. It has been fulfilled perfectly. 400 years before the Lord Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, a prophet said there's going to be a one who's be born in Bethlehem. 400 years. I can't even tell you what's going to happen this afternoon. My son said, "Hey, Dad, you want to eat dinner with us today?" I said, "Sure." I said, "Where do you want to go?" He said, "I don't know. I'll call you when you get out of church." Some of you people have no idea where you're going to eat today. But I know you're going to eat. The look of some of you, you've been at that table for a while. Amen. Like the same table I eat at, amen. There looms, always looms, a date of deity. A date with deity. We cannot get by. It is optional whether or not a man gets saved, because God said man has a free will and you have a choice. You can do anything you want to do. Every baby is born with a free will. Every child has a free will. Every teenager has a free will. And we try to bend them to go the right way. We had this pear tree out in our orchard, and it's growing crooked. And my dad went in and said to my mama, "Hey, give me some of your pantyhose." "Man, I want it." "What are you doing with pantyhose?" I said to my dad. You know, when I was in school, you say, "Pantyhose, pantyhose," that was like swearing, amen. I said, "What are you going to do with pantyhose?" He says, "I'm going to correct that bend in that pear tree." It was just a young pear tree, the sapling. And he went out and drove a stake in the ground. And he tied some of that pantyhose on that tree and pulled her down tight. That old tree came straight because the east winds from Lake Huron would blow. And bend all our trees over there, always bent going to the west. He pulled that thing, you know. And within a couple of years, that even today, that pear tree, which was over 50 years ago, that pear tree is still bearing fruit and is straight as a string. Straight as an arrow. And we parents, we try to get our child, though they have a will. And by the way, all of us have will. You don't have to do nothing you don't want to. Now, you'll suffer the consequences, won't you? Your dad tells you something to do, and you don't do it, you're going to suffer the consequences for it. But you still have a free will. You can be stupider than stupid, amen, or how stupid that is, amen. And you keep doing something. Dad keep whacking you, and mama keep yelling at you and telling you to do right, and you just keep doing what you want. But you're going to suffer the consequences, but you still have your own will. God gives us a will. He gives us a choice. God said in the Garden of Eden, says Adam and Eve, "You can have everything in this garden, everything, except one thing. I don't want you to take, this is contraband, that tree right there, tree of knowledge, good and evil. If you eat of that thing, you'll surely die." Did God stand there with a golden bat waiting for Eve to come over and go to grab a, and he whack her over the head of it? No. She had a choice. Just like you have a choice today. You have the choice of a Savior or a choice. I don't want none of that. I gotta sow my wild oats. I'm gonna do this and do that, and then when I get a little older, then I'll settle down. Let me tell you something. If you've ever seen wild oats, you know that they never quit growing. And once you sow that wild oat, you're gonna reap a harvest. And that'll be in your mind for the rest of your life, whether you like it or not. That's why us old guys keep telling that us, you young guys, serve God with all your whole heart, with your whole mind. Serve the Lord with gladness. In your youth, serve God. It's the greatest time in life to serve God in your youth. You don't have any junk that you have in your mind. The Bible says, in Ecclesiastes 11:9, "Rejoice, O young man." Listen to me now, young man. I'm talking to young men. "Rejoice, young man, in thy youth, and let your heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes, but know thou." And here's the wisest man in all the world, Solomon, wrote this. He said this, "But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment." There's so many people that they think that this is just a joke. Religion is just a crutch. No, God said, you do what you want to do. But you know this, boy, that all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. God has appointed a day, and you will abide by His calendar, not yours. On that day, there will be only lost and saved. Nothing can be done about it. Everything will be settled when your date with deity rolls around. There will be no second chance. No verdict will be reconsidered. Everything is final and no appeals. My friend, something can be done about it right now. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you know you need a Savior. And if you'd ask Jesus Christ to forgive your sins and ask Him to come into your heart, He'll save you right now, right here, right at this spot. But if you don't, whether you believe it or not, you will stand before the holy God of heaven who spoke this world into existence and created every life form known to mankind. And His final creation was mankind. And He says, it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. I'll promise you, according to God's word, when you stand before the holy Jesus, you will remember this day and you will remember this sermon. If you walk away from here today without Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He will bring that and you will remember that. That your mind is the most amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. And you will stand before holy God. God told you to do that. You didn't do it. And God's going to say, why didn't you do that? I loved you. I gave my own life. I died. I was beaten brutally. I died for you. Why didn't you do what I asked you to do? Choice is yours. You have a free will. You can check the mark, say, yes, I do. Or you can check the mark. Oh, you don't even have to check the mark. God knows that. Some of you run around like a chicken with your head cut off. You run around nonsense. Things that don't mean anything. And that's the most important thing for you right now. God said, hey, I've told you that's not right to do. Don't do that. Sometimes God has to take the stick and whack us. And He gets our attention. And then there's some that, like I've seen a lot of parents, they discipline their child, and they discipline their child, and discipline their child, and finally they said, I can't do it anymore. Just go ahead. Suffer the consequences. I've tried. I've seen fathers come to me and say, preacher, that boy, he's got a wild hair. I don't stand it. He just will not serve God. He will not give himself. And he said, I turned it over to God. I heard a preacher, Dr. R.V. Clearwater's mother, she said, you are a reprobate. I am so sorry I gave birth to you, boy. She says, I raised you for God and now you act like the devil. I want you to know, I gave you up and I'm done with you. He got on a train and came out here to Saskatoon, Canada. Started working in wheat fields. That was back in the days when they it was more manual labor than equipment. He got out there and he says, I could still hear my mama say, I've given you up. I can't do no more with you. You might as well leave. I don't want you in my home anymore. I believe he was 18, 19 years old. But he left home. He couldn't do it on his own. So I got out in those old wheat fields. And God started pounding my heart, the word of God that my mama taught me. And I fell down in the wheat field and begged God to forgive me and asked God to save my wretched soul. He preached for over 50 years. Godly man, what a great preacher he was. But boy, I'll tell you what, mama says, I can't do it. You know what? That's what God does. The Bible says that He gave him up in reprobate minds. Remember that in Scripture? Just gave him up. Sometimes we have to just give them up. It breaks my heart. They give up a child. But think what it must feel to God to give up one of us who gave His only life for it. God, I beg you tonight, today, will you please ask Jesus in your heart? Would you take care of that today and say, no more am I going to roam. I'm not going to run anymore. I'm going to take care of it right here at the altar. I'm going to get saved. I'm going to ask Jesus to be my Savior. I'm tired of running. I'm 22 years old. I was 20 years old. And I was playing football at college, and I came home, played our last game, and the city that we played in, I just went over and jumped on an airplane and went home to Michigan. And when I got home to Michigan, my old buddies were there. You know what old buddies are, don't you? My old buddies were there, the Tempters. They said, hey, Sear, you want to go out and have a party tonight? I said, yeah, man, let's do it. And I went out, sat down with the guys, and all they could talk about was immorality and drunkenness. And I sat there, and I was dating my wife, Marcia. I was sitting there looking at them, and I thought, this is what I thought in my mind. I'm done with this. This is not the way I want to live the rest of my life. It took this idiot 20 years to find that out. And I said, I don't want that. That's not where I'm going. I walked away from my friends, and never again did I ever go party with them. Never again did I even really talk much to them. I'm sure glad that God gave me one more chance to say, God, I want to serve your way. I want to go your way. I don't want this. This is not what I want. I want this. I hope to God that you would have that desire in your heart to say, you know what? I'm making a choice today. This is where I'm going. I'm not going this way anymore. I'm going this way. And God promised to help you through it. Say, did you live perfect? No, I didn't live perfect. Still don't live perfect. Still have my troubles, still have my heartache, still have my stupidity. But I know one thing. I got a God that I can go to Him and ask Him to forgive my sins, and He'll cleanse my heart. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's God's promise to us. He will forgive us of all our sins. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for today. I pray, Lord God, that you'd speak to our hearts, Lord, and help us to understand that there is a God in heaven that loves us so much. And He gave His only begotten Son to save us. Dear God, I pray today that be anyone here who does not know you as their Savior, that has not taken time out in their life to trust you and accept you as their Savior, I pray today would be the day. Holy Spirit, God, do a great work. I pray the blood of Jesus Christ, the imps of hell and Satan would be away from us so we can have something done here today. In Jesus' name, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. But I want to know Jesus as my Savior. You're here today and say, preacher, would you please pray for me? Would you lift your hand? Preacher, I want to be sure I'm saved. God bless you. Anyone else? Today, I want to take care of that. You're here today and say, preacher, would you pray for me? I need to follow Lord Jesus Christ and believer's baptism. Would you lift your hand? God bless you. Anyone else? We have a date with the deity. And you will stand before God when you know the truth and don't do what the truth tells you. You're today and say, preacher, I'm like you. I had some friends. I don't want to go that way anymore. I want to go Jesus' way. Would you please pray for me? Would you lift your hand? God bless you. God bless you. Yes, amen. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Father, I ask you now that you speak to our hearts as we have this time of invitation. Lord, that you'd speak to our heart that we would do business with you. In Jesus' name, I'm going to ask everyone to stand to the feet. a pianist playing. You're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I want to know that today. Why don't you come? I'm not sure I'm saved. I have not accepted Christ as my personal Savior. Why don't you come right now? Why don't you take care of that today? You have a date with deity. God is going to reveal the secrets of your heart. He will open up the book of life and see if your name is written down, and it is not. He's going to say, depart from me, you work of iniquity, for I never knew you. And he'll cast you in a lake of fire to burn it forever and ever and ever. How terrible it would be. You'd be at a church service like this and hear the gospel very plainly put, and you weren't willing to accept it, God will just shake his head at you and with heartache have to send you away.